Welcome to Manager Tools. Today's topic, when you're required to do panel interviews, part one. The questions this cast answers are, should I do panel interviews? What if HR says I have to use a panel interview? Can I ignore HR's guidance?
Folks, we just completed our annual M conference. It was the best two-day conference I've ever been a part of over the last 25 years of my career. Training managers all over the world. Just an exceptional experience hearing from executives across the MT community about managing, about leading, about organizational growth and development and personal development. Just absolutely exceptional. And you can still get in on it. The event is over, but you can purchase a video-only product, which allows you to see the videos with slides superimposed of every single presentation at the conference. It's only $1,500. You can come to the website, sign up, and it'll be yours. Check it out.
Kate, panel interview is something that we talk a lot about in our effective hiring manager conferences.
Yeah.
Panel interviews are one of the leading ineffective techniques used all over the hiring world. And not just ineffective, we're also told in most cases that the reason we need to do panel interviews is due to their increased efficiency. But panel interviews, they're not efficient either.
Every time I hear this argument, I'm baffled by it, right? Like, oh, we'll just bring extra people in. Okay. Also, I think from my experience, not the point of view that we're going to present in this cast, but from my experience as an interviewee.
Mm-hmm. Candidate.
Panel interviews, I think, lead to some people assuming that they don't have to be that prepared, that the interviewer doesn't have to be that ready because there's other people there.
Pick up the slack.
Yeah. Like, I remember a panel interview. I was the candidate and it was on a Friday and half the people who interviewed me obviously didn't know that they were interviewing anyone that day.
Yeah.
Fully were wearing like Hawaiian shirts and flip-flops. And more power to you, it's casual Friday. Also though, I don't know, I wasn't blown away.
Yeah, that's the thing. Do you want to work here? Maybe not.
I guess you get to wear whatever you want on casual Friday. So
I guess.
That part's great.
Right? All right. So today's cast, we have multiple points that we're going to discuss. We're going to talk first about not doing or our recommendation, don't do panel interviews. Then we'll talk about the fact that if HR insists, ask for proof. If ultimately you need to do or you're told you must do a panel interview, put your own people on that panel. Also have your own people conduct their own interviews. And then ultimately, ignore panel interview recommendations.
All right. So we start with our basic premise. Don't do panel interviews.
Mm-hmm.
We have been on the record for decades that panel interviews are a stupid technique for making hiring decisions. And we have a cast on this and it's called No Panel Interviews.
Yeah. Could it be clearer?
I'm not sure, but we're going to try.
Yeah, exactly.
Just really hammer the point home. We're doing that thing again where we say the same thing over and over again, hoping that people will listen to us. The way to conduct all interviews is one interviewer interviewing one candidate. The reason is that the primary engine of great interviewers is the result of each interview is a hiring decision.
That's the purpose. That's why we go there, right? The purpose of the interview is to make a decision.
Right.
Do we hire them or not?
And we're not just talking about, think about what you want to do.
Right.
Decisions are you choose and you action.
Mm-hmm.
And in this case, your action is going to be delivering your decision to the group. And if you've been to any of our stuff, you'll know how to do that. In any case, either the interviewer decides to recommend hiring or not hiring.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Your recommendation to the hiring manager is the equivalent of, I would hire this person. And if you have to make the hiring decision, and let's not beat around the bush here, you do have to make the hiring decision.
Right.
You oughtn't be sharing the limited time in an interview that you have with others who don't care as much as you do.
Exactly. That's absolutely it. Guys, one of the reasons that we're often told to do panel interviews, one of the reasons they're touted as being this wonderful interviewing technique, is because of their allowing for more perspective on a candidate. Mm-hmm. So one person in our panel, one person asks the question, but not just one person hears it. Everyone gets to hear the answer to that question and then share our perspective as well. In fact, panel interviews, which are, again, touted as giving more perspective, actually do the opposite in that they decrease perspective.
This kind of reminds me of when people talk about how the sandwich method for feedback is good, and they give you all these rationale that are supposed to say, here's why you should use the sandwich method. And in fact, the opposite of all of the rationale is what's occurring. And it's the same thing here. When we're in a panel interview, myself, you know, if somebody else asks a question, I have to make a decision based on your questions.
Yeah.
Sure. You could ask a question that I wouldn't ask, but the majority of questions, the vast majority of questions asked in interviews are horrible. They're horrible.
Right.
I've heard people ask, if you were a color, what color would you be? Or the one where you have to like take the people across the river in your boat and your boat's sinking. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. Does that tell me how good you'll be at writing in code? Because I'm not certain that it's useful. It's so uncomfortable. So what good is a panel interview, which is supposed to save us time?
Right. It's supposed to be efficient.
If I'm listening to questions about rowboats.
Yeah.
Is that helpful to me?
It's not more efficient if you're wasting time listening to the answers to stupid questions.
Fully.
Absolutely.
There's also a chance that we don't understand the rationale for the other person's question. And if that's the case, how do we evaluate the answer? Imagine that someone asks a question that you wouldn't have asked, and you actually like the answer, and the questioner later tells you, oh, that's the reason I said no to that person.
Yeah, that was such a terrible answer.
Because of the underlying rationale of the question.
Right? Exactly.
Yeah. Even if panel interviews ask good questions, like the panel interviewer asks a good question, I don't think that that saves you. Because if they do, and then there's a lot of bad probes and interjections, you never get to ask the questions or probes that you need to ask to find out whether the candidate has or doesn't have what you need. So in virtually every case of this panel situation, we're at the mercy of the other questions.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
We're not really in a positive situation.
Right. There may be more perspectives in the room, but more perspectives based on bad questions or questions that all of the panelists don't understand or surface level responses that you never get time to probe on or ask more information about create ineffective, shallow perspectives.
We're just so fired up. I keep interrupting you.
That's the thing. There's no benefit. The one thing we have that we can point to and say, this is why we do it. Efficiency. But it's not.
No. In fact, I would argue it's largely a waste of our time.
Exactly. And to go a step further, panel interviews haven't data to support them. That is, panel interviews do not increase the number of true positive hires. That is, they don't increase the number of people you hire which are good additions to your team.
Right,
a good fit. What they do increase, though, is the number of false positive hires.
Ouch.
People that you hire that are not a good fit for your team. Panel interviews tend to create more situations where candidates are hired that shouldn't have been hired in the first place.
Yeah.
The general conclusion of which is that panel interviews diminish the likelihood of the in-depth knowledge that helps panelists decide to stand their ground on why someone isn't a good fit. right? If you're in a panel interview and you don't get enough information because you're sharing your time with other people, or the questions that were asked were poor, or for any multitude of reasons, you don't feel like you got a solid evaluation.
Yeah.
But everyone else on the panel is saying yes, and I don't have the data I need to say no, I guess we hire them. And then result equals poor hire.
And we suffer. And you suffer for a long time, right? Because if somebody comes in and they're not a fit, it takes a long time to get rid of that person if you need to.
Right.
And y'all know usually we're not big on getting rid of people. And this is, if you've ever been, I mean, I can remember probably twice in my career being on a team where there was very clearly a person who got in who shouldn't have. And everybody knew it. It was like an open secret. And it was only secret in that we didn't talk about it in front of that person. And it was demoralizing for the team. It was difficult because that person really didn't know that they weren't a good mm-hmm. fit. And so it was just hard. Also, I really struggle with the idea of the panel interview and my sense of the candidate. And then somebody else on the panel thinking, oh, no, I think they did well. And having, like you said, having enough data. And y'all, I just want to like really clarify that. If somebody asks question A, and my feeling that the candidate isn't good is from their answer to question A, but your feeling that they're good, not Sarah's, because I think we usually agree pretty strongly and pretty quickly, your feeling that they should get hired is about A. We're both arguing about the same answer. Whereas if we had separate interviews, maybe we both asked the same question, but the words the candidate uses are different to answer. So we have, I have this, oh, no, this is what they said over here, and you have this. It's going to make it so much more clear because you just have more data. And I know our audience is all about data. I wish there were more people out there who would listen to this.
Yeah.
Because there's some people who aren't data-driven out there. And they're not going to hear about how terrible this is. It's not just terrible for the interviewers.
No, exactly. What about the candidate? Panel interviews are so much more stressful for candidates.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
We've found that panel interviews take candidates past effective stress levels. That is, past that eustress into de-stress. Candidates describe panel interviews as ones that are overbearing, unpredictable, unfair.
Mm-hmm.
Throughout the course of answering their questions, they have to hear a question from one person, try to then speak directly to four people, for example, at the same time, making eye contact with those four people, knowing that probably one of those people is the hiring manager. So should I maybe spend a little bit more time making eye contact with that person?
Right.
Because maybe their vote counts more, but maybe it doesn't. And all of those stressors, as if interviewing weren't stressful enough, combine that with the fact that job candidates say that they know they have to be interviewed. Like, that's the name of the game.
Sure.
When you're a candidate, you have to be interviewed.
They expect that.
But they totally expect that. But an interview in most candidates' minds is a one-on-one conversation.
Also, too, I think because candidates don't have, in advance of the interview process, they don't have a lot of insight into the process.
No, they don't.
All the processes that they're going through, even if they're interviewing a lot, maybe you're, you know, someone fresh out of university, they're interviewing mm-hmm. a lot, so they've seen a lot. But again, no one told them, hey, this is the process. And so they're not sure if it's going to be one-on-one or panel.
Right.
That makes it harder. Especially, too, you honestly, like if you're preparing for an interview, you prepare all these answers, then you only need five of them because you're in the panel. It's like, well, goodness, like I could have gone to dinner last night. Like I didn't
exactly.
have to stay in my hotel room looking at my note cards.
Right?
It's really tough.
At the end of the day, what do y'all think the result of that is? All things being equal, a greater percentage of candidates who are made offers from companies who use panel interviews turn those offers down.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine going through? I mean, it's happened, obviously. I've been in that experience where you offer someone and they say no. Mm-hmm. And can you imagine how, like, all this work and then?
Yeah. Oh,
no
so
thanks.
So much work. So much not efficient work now, definitely, because we went through this whole process. We did this panel interview, and now the person we wanted to hire said no because we unnecessarily stressed them out in a confusing, poorly planned situation. Not cool.
And I'm not trying to sass y'all, but their perception of the company is based on the panel interview. And
Panel
interviews are seen as unpredictable and unfair, your organization, because of their experience in a panel interview, is seen as unpredictable and unfair.
Yeah.
I don't think that's the perception we want to create.
No, you don't want people thinking that about you. Exactly. Instead, we'd say teach your directs to interview and have them interview one at a time instead.
You should teach them this anyway, y'all. Part of your job as a manager is to prepare them to be managers, and they will have to interview someday. You're not doing anybody any service by keeping them out of this process.
Folks, I continue to sing the praises of licenses. For those of you who are licensees, I know you already know the benefits. For those of you who aren't, I encourage you to consider it. For only $200 a year, you get access to all of our show notes for Manager Tools and Career Tools, and not just for the year that you have the product, but for all of the previous years we've been doing this. I think we have over 1,200 show notes, well over 1 million words of guidance about how to manage others and how to lead and how to have an effective career. And what's more, it also now gets you access to the interviewing series, as well as probably the big news this year, Executive Tools, which is off to a roaring start. It comes out every other week, and it's addressing those things that only executives have to deal with. So become a licensee, $200, come to the website, sign up.
Okay, HR. What if HR insists? Here's what we do. We ask for proof.
Mm-hmm. Now, you might think that all of what we just said is unnecessary because you've been told that you have to use panels by HR. So you got no choice in this. Folks, don't believe it. Our favorite example of managers being told they must do panel interviews is the one in the U.S. federal government's Office of Personnel Management, OPM, mm-hmm. for short. Their guidance, which is in a document that is frequently used by HR departments within the federal government to tell their employees they must do panel interviews and they have no choice. But we've read it. We've read the document. And in that guidance document, on page 25, it states, interviewers may conduct the interview together at one time or individually in a serial fashion in which the candidate progresses through multiple interviews. When feasible, the same interviewers should be used either in a panel or serially across all candidates to ensure consistency ratings.
It's interesting because what I didn't hear was you have to use panel interviews.
Exactly.
I heard that. I heard the opposite. I did not hear a requirement to have several interviewers conduct a single interview at the same time. That's actually not what I heard at all.
Mm-hmm.
It specifically says that when they say that, like, it specifically says when they mean panel, it's not that everybody interviews at the same time.
Right.
But that there is a group, which they're calling mm-hmm. a panel, of multiple interviewers who conduct interviews together or serially, which sounds like you could do what you want or what we're suggesting you do.
Or what we were suggesting you do. Exactly. It's like we're somehow negotiating here about the definition of panel.
Right.
Which is a common mistake.
Sure.
Right? I mean, panel means, or the word panel means different things to different people. Panels are commonly taken to mean several interviewers interviewing one candidate at the same time. But as I just read, the OPM guidance clearly uses panel in a more broad sense to mean a number of separate people interviewing candidates, not necessarily simultaneously or at the same time.
Yeah. And hey, HR, as well-meaning as they may be, may turn this into a requirement for what they think a panel is, which is multiple interviewers at the same time. And y'all, this is why we've said many, many times, if you can find a really smart, really good HR person to hitch your star to, please do it. Can you imagine if you worked in HR and someone came to you and said, hey, by the way, I've just discovered that the OPM doesn't actually require panels. Like, here's what it actually says. And that your HR person said, oh my goodness, suddenly the doors are open. We can do what we want. Like, let's set up a new process. Hey, right? I would be that person's best friend.
That's the thing. Hint, hint. If you're sitting out there and you are a manager in the U.S. federal government, what we're going to recommend you do right now is share the OPM document with your HR people and tell them that based on our guidance, individual managers asking the same set of questions, you are doing a panel interview in a serial fashion as indicated by the OPM.
Yeah.
Done.
And that's a much more likely, obvious, and clear situation than what I described, which is the individual manager going to their HR, right?
Yeah, most of us don't have a document that we can point back at.
Right. There's not going to be such simple proof for most of us.
Right. For most of us.
Then what do we do?
Many of us.
Well, first, remember your process for hiring. You're going to consider your bench. You're going to screen resumes, conduct phone screens before you bring someone in for an interview. And actually, the first moment you think of hiring, everyone on your team ought to know their roles. Mm-hmm. If they don't know their roles, spend 15 minutes in your staff meeting and explain it to them. Consider your criteria, develop structured interview, review the bench, screen the resumes, conduct the phone screens, and finally, do several in-person or Zoom, if you have to, interviews.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. If your team members don't know, in respect to your hiring process, how you intend to have them involved, make sure you tell them. If they don't know how to interview, send them to our Effective Hiring Manager conference or get them a copy of the Effective Hiring Manager book. Mm. Get them licenses so that they can use the interview creation tool to help build your set of interview questions. Even if every person on your team is completely new to interviewing, you can still have them interview. And to some degree, you can discount their input because you're still ultimately going to be the final decision maker and they don't have a ton of experience or haven't been within the company for a very long time. And you want to make sure that everyone understands that some or even all of them are going to be interviewing any candidate that is going to make it to our final interview stage.
Mm-hmm. The point of all this and explaining what's going to happen is you can then also explain to HR or whomever that you already have a process in place which you intend to follow. Walk them through it. Say everyone on your team or nearly will be interviewing. And if you think that they might be insistent on a panel, tell them that you do have a panel of interviewers already set up. Mm-hmm. Is accurate.
Exactly. Absolutely. And further, make sure your boss is on your side, folks.
Mm-hmm.
That is, make sure before you go through all of this work and then hit the brick wall that we sometimes think of as HR, you've briefed your boss on your process, that she knows what you're going to do. When she sees it, she's going to be less likely to cave then to HR, who's going to come to her and say, wait a minute, you don't have a panel.
Mm-hmm.
What we want is for your manager to then be in support of you, to fight your battles with HR on your behalf. That's what we do if we were your director.
100%. I would, yeah, right.
Yeah, make sure she knows. If you don't brief your boss, though, it's going to be really hard for your manager to support your perspective, your new process with human resources, folks. You have to communicate this to your manager if you want their support.
Yeah. And if you compare this to other people, other managers in the organization, they don't have a process. So when HR gets involved in screening the resumes or sourcing, those managers generally acquiesce to HR's involvement. And if they don't have a process, who are they to argue with HR? I mean, HR has a process. They don't, Why would HR listen to them?
You know what, Kate? I'd probably even go so far as to say most managers want HR to do all the work.
Right, because it means they don't have to.
They don't have to. They don't have to have their own process. It's not even necessarily always acquiescing to HR. It's just, HR, tell me what to do.
And that's a really short-sighted mentality, right? I mean, I'm imagining that manager. That manager is probably basically saying, I don't have time for this. HR already has a process. If I can use that one, it'll save me a bunch of time having to develop my own process and I don't have to work at it as much, you know, and maybe that's your thought process. But y'all, that's really short-sighted. I mean, the people you're hiring are going to affect the work that's done and they're going to affect it for what could be a really long time.
Exactly.
And your idea is, well, what I'm doing day to day, you know, and for me, it was like editing specifications, or right now it's like editing. We're in the middle of new product development. And so we're looking at communications that go out from the website, which is valuable. And somebody else can do that if I was in the position where I needed to develop a process, because that stuff is daily stuff. Whereas what we're talking about is something that's going to affect the quality of your team and the quality of your organization for the next minimum 5 years.
Exactly. The lack of process about something so incredibly important, something that's going to affect them for years, is shocking.
It's dangerous.
It's dangerous. Exactly. No wonder we've got this situation where there's an opportunity for so many bad outcomes.
Mm-hmm.
Because managers don't consider something that is so vitally important, something that is such a long-term task, to be something that is worth them having a hand in the process creation. Now, lucky for everyone here, that's not you, right?
No.
That's not you. So just being at the whims of HR and their designated process, because we know it's not what's going to guarantee us the best outcome, that's not what we're going to do.
Yeah. And hopefully you've been listening. We've given you a process, so you don't have to think about creating the process. Now, I mean, there's some stuff you have to think about, but hopefully we've given you enough insight that you can use this process. And for those of you who are thinking like, oh, this is something I just don't have time for, you got to lift your head up off the stuff on your desk and look out in front of your desk. You got to look out there. There's stuff headed your way that, honestly, if you're not prepared for it by hiring the right people, you put your team and your organization a little bit at risk.
Absolutely. Now, I know lots of managers because we talk to them all the time in our effective hiring manager conferences. We know that lots of managers have heard, you must do panels, you must do panels, you must do panels.
Yeah.
And they're hesitant about it, about breaching the subject, about suggesting that they do something different. But folks, know that we have no doubt that just explaining to HR that you've already arranged and got a full process will be enough to convince them that what you're doing is sufficient and will eliminate the panel. Just saying, these are all of the things that I am doing.
Mm-hmm.
In many cases, will cause them to be like, oh, well, that's what you were going to do? Oh, heck yeah. I mean, go so far as to show them your interview form.
Yeah.
Ideally created by the interview creation tool. And many HR departments are just going to say, yeah, okay. I mean, you got this.
Clearly.
Because you're one of the minority of managers who's coming super prepared.
Hey, you know, we'll give a year's license free to the first manager who does this and lets us know that their HR person, upon being shown the questions, the ICT output, asks to borrow it or even use it during some panel interviews. So if you do this, if you take the ICT to your HR people and they ask to use it.
Mm-hmm. They want to use it themselves within the department.
Yeah, we'll give you a free license. We'll give you a free year on your license.
Exactly. That alone should tell you all you need to know about the value of panels. Clearly, if HR is asking to use your set of questions, you've done your homework. And now, they're not even going to worry about the fact that you are a manager who may not be taking professional steps to have good hires. They know that you're doing what is needed to make a good hire for the organization.
Mm-hmm.
So use the interview creation tool.
And don't simply accept HR's insistence on a panel interview. Don't roll over. The panel interview will take on far too large an influence on your hiring process if you were to do it. It will do so not just in the misery of getting it scheduled, which it always is, so much that the powers that be often end up forcing it when they discover that getting 5 to 6 people in the same room at the same time is harder than it sounds, which is, I think, how a bunch of Hawaiian shirts ended up in my life.
No, totally. I mean, uh-oh, it's Friday. Are there even 6 people here that we can put into an interview room?
100%.
We need a panel. Let's make a panel real quick.
Friday afternoon on a contract whose main vendor was on every other Friday off. So there you go.
Yeah, see? That's the thing. Jamming together a last-minute panel. It'll also increase your misery because the people who will be then on that panel, so much less focused on an outstanding outcome than you will be.
Mm-hmm.
Right? How is it that something so wonderful could be so difficult to pull off among willing participants?
Yeah, that's because, by the way, guys, nobody believes it's wonderful.
Oh, nobody.
They just know it's required. And so they don't want to do it because it's, mm-hmm. again, they don't want to lift their head right up off their desk and think about the future either. The only people who love panels are the people that want to have input into your new hire without having any responsibility for it.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're not going to be excellent interviewers. They can't possibly know what analysis you've done or the behavioral interview that you've created tailored specifically to your needs. They don't even know your needs.
And P.S., they're not going to be there to help you manage this person in the long run. They just want to share their opinion.
Do they want to onboard?
Right.
How about that? No.
Do they want to do performance management if this person doesn't turn out? Absolutely not.
You'll be holding that bag.
Exactly.
Because somebody in a Hawaiian shirt said they liked their answer.
Exactly. Because a bunch of people got jammed together on a Friday afternoon and no one wanted to be there. And here we are with our resulting hire. Congratulations, hiring manager. Have a fun next 10 years of your life.
For the record, it's not that I hate Hawaiian shirts, but I'm just going to be like dark mini Mark and not say that part.
Right. Exactly. You're the one that has to manage the person at the end of the day.
That's all for today, folks. We'll be back next time with part 2.